Hey, this is Adrian.
And this is Ethan.
And this is Whiskey and Wires, brought to you by Intuitive Networks, where we talk all things tech.
And all things whiskey.
Oh, well, hello, everybody. How are you? We are back with another episode of Whiskey and Wires. With a little bit... Wait, what?
Can you turn me down a little bit?
Is that why you jump every time?
It's way too loud in my ears when you... Because when we're doing the check, it's like check.
When I go up, I'm super aggressive.
Didn't know your ears were so gentle.
Yeah.
Wanna,
are we hurting your ears?
Here, trade bro.
He's got the super sensitive ones. Well, what's up, guys? How are you?
Not too bad. How are you?
You good? I'm good. I mean, I'm staring at a deliciously looking old-fashioned, which we're going to be talking about a little bit today. How's that? Is that mic a little better?
It's a little bit better. I'll let you know if it needs to go down more. It was
a little bit more.
Ed and I switched headphones just for placement in the room and stuff when he was in here, and he must have had it blasting. I think he's going deaf or something. Because
as you get older, your ears start to fade out and fizzle, so we've known that, so that might be the thing. So you're just a young buck. But everybody listening doesn't know how old Ethan is.
Well, when you started talking, it legitimately hurt my ears, like it was piercing.
Amateurs.
Yeah, well.
Oh, man. Adrian, how you doing today?
Not too bad. Made some old fashions for you guys, and it's good to be back in town. I've been here for a couple weeks now, but just wasn't able to make the last few episodes. Busy doing other stuff.
Well, your penance is being paid by this delicious old-fashioned, which you need to tell us about this, because apparently I have heard through the grapevine and in the greater Placer County, they are the best. Like, it's been teed up. You're teed up.
I mean, judging by the people who told you that, it's probably not a hard feat, but...
But, I mean, if they're going to be... Like, come on. This podcast is about whiskey, right? So, I mean, we've got people who know what the heck they're talking about.
Yeah, and so Ed, when he was here last, we were chatting about old fashions, and he said that, according to him... Adrian's old fashions are one of the best. And then I corrected him and said that they are the best. That being said, Ed has a lot more experience with old fashions. I've had a handful, probably grand total from five different places.
Really?
Still say yours is the best out of the five, but...
Well, I'm pretty juiced to talk about it, and because it's going to go blend and pair very, very well with the topic we're talking about today, because it's so much in the news right now and it's making people upset and cry. So I think a lot of people would serve them well to have an old-fashioned while they're reading and understanding their social media platform terms and conditions.
Oof.
Yeah, exactly. I know. So to just kind of tee it up, we were talking about, last show, right? Or a couple shows ago, too, going, you know, it's very relevant right now from a tech standpoint, too, because, you know, people are just signing away basically everything. And you guys, like, as the tech pros are like, hey, you might want to, like, read that and see if you agree to it.
Right.
Which is pretty gnarly, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, for example, people think that whatever they post, like their talent, right? If they're on a social media platform, is their property? Well, that depends. Like, what is property?
Yeah.
You know, there's been some litigation too, you know, like people go, no, this is my life, this is my work, my art. And then the platform's like, no.
No, you put it on mine.
Yep.
You consented.
Yeah, totally. I mean, for Facebook, for example, it's one of the biggest out there, as everybody knows, but it's a content platform, curated platform that creates no content except for their own. I mean, it's a mind blower of the whole platform in and of itself. But okay, before we get all into that, let's cheers. Because it's also a new month as the recording of this chink 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 episode. It's September 1. Okay. Yeah. I'd pay for that. There's some that I'm like, that I've got that I'm like, I would not pay for that. I can't believe that I did. This one, I 100% would pay. Where's the cinnamon coming from?
Ah.
Oh, I just got it. Did you taste it?
A little bit, yeah.
A little bit?
Yeah.
See, like, okay, so this is a Woodford Old Fashioned. Just kind of give you some information. But, you know, I like to make my own syrups and stuff like that. I just, I ran out, but there are some good manufacturers out there. And
so that's Aunt Jemima?
Non-paid plug here. But
is butter worse?
I've done that in a pinch, and it does work.
You're like, why am I drinking breakfast?
Yeah, like Saturday, you know, you have leftover like breakfast items, yeah. And then you want your mid-afternoon like old fashioned.
That sounds so good.
You know, you just kind of you have to improvise sometimes. No, but there's I like to use Liber & Co. It's a Demerara gum syrup. It's in a blue like glass bottle.
Okay.
And that one's actually made in Austin, Texas.
How do you spell that? Because I'm going to leave it in the show notes for everybody.
Liber, L-I-B-E-R.
Uh-huh.
And Co.
And Co. Liber and Co.
Austin, Texas. Yep.
Shout out to you. We'll plug it.
Yep. And then Angostura bitters, because, you know, the general requirement for a classic cocktail, generally speaking for whiskey-based or stuff that is of the traditional whiskey route, it would be spirit, bitter, and sugar.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that also works for, like, daiquiris or stuff that doesn't require, like, whiskey.
Yeah.
But the bitter, in this case, would be subbed out for, like, juice, like lime juice or whatever.
So, trivia question. Do you know why or when the cherry came in and why that whole thing as far as old fashions?
Why the cherry came in into the whole mix?
Why they add that to what we know as an old fashioned?
The real cherries, like the one you have right there, real Luxardo Italian cherry? Yeah. Are you talking about the fake, like...
No, not the Marciano cherries.
Radioactive.
No. Like a real cherry, period, and then adding the sweets.
No, tell me. Was this considered a dessert cocktail?
The whiskey was pretty dank at the time, so to sweeten it up, they made this cocktail just to sell it.
Oh, got it. I knew that they started adding sugar because of that.
Mm-hmm. And then it was what it is now, right? So some iteration. So I don't even think it, don't quote me, all you fact checkers out there, the exact date, but let's just say 30s and 40s, that's when they added like the orange and it was a lot of syrups and then the cherry. And so then it officially became the old fashioned.
I do know that because of Prohibition, a lot of the you know, competent bartenders, because Prohibition was fairly long.
Yeah.
They retired or they died off, right? So when they came back and they're trying to make all these cocktails, a lot of them didn't leave recipe books. So they kind of had to remember what an old fashioned, that's actually where the name old fashioned came from. People will come in that we used to order a variation or something like that. It wasn't called an old fashioned.
Mm-hmm.
And they would come in and go, I want that old fashioned cocktail.
Mm.
That's one of the stories behind why they called it an old fashioned.
Well, and then back in the day, it was just whiskey. Like I said, kind of dank ass whiskey. And they're like, hey, let's sweeten it up. Which honestly, I think that's bartending 101. You're going to have your staples, but.
Okay. Right? It releases, is it dopamine, right?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, I think it's a little dopamine, a little like spurt of dopamine that makes you want to go in for another.
And it's got an addictive quality.
Well, and that's nice because I obviously love old fashions, but I always wondered where the name and everything like that came from. I always figured at some point in time, maybe during Prohibition era, it was just called the in fashion.
So, to that same degree, a lot of friends of ours, so we'll make an old fashioned. And then I think I've brought this up before, but we actually coined a new drink. So I'm going to put it out there publicly. Actually, I put it out there publicly before, but on this show. Take this, what you did, and it would be, you would probably consider defacing it. Grab like a LaCroix bubbly, whatever flavor, lime or the tangerine. Just top it off. Mix that up. New fashion. Boom.
More like an old-fashioned highball.
Maybe.
Because a highball cocktail is anything with a sparkling, like, topper.
Then okay, you can do that, but new fashion sounds cool.
It does.
Yeah.
And now that you've put it out there in a social
universe,
in a social platform, due to the terms and agreement of Spotify, it no longer belongs to you.
Da-da-da-da, that's a great segue to our show. Well, I did go and request this from bartender once. She's like, "What are you talking about?" I said, "Just give me some of the bubbly water." She's like, she tasted it, and she's like, that's good. And I was like, it's a new fashion. Remember, dude with the beard made it up. So, anyways, yes, we are here to just talk over all these terms and conditions. It's freaking crazy. Okay, as the IT pro, right?
Yeah.
What do you think? Have you looked under the covers? I know you use the platforms, but, like, have you looked under the covers and really dug into this?
As far as terms and conditions in general?
Well, just all the scary stuff. You are in the business. Your business is to look at different tech solutions and advise, right? To fix, right? Turn it back on. Shake it.
Right.
And then go, what should I use to help prevent X, Y? So, I mean,
yeah.
I mean, that honest question, right?
Yeah.
If somebody in your sphere, your world, kind of came in and said, hey, should we do this? What would you tell them?
Yeah. So it varies between. So there's a big difference, right, when you're talking about your day-to-day person on the street, the terms and conditions they're approving to.
Yeah.
And then within a commercial business field. And I feel like there's value in talking about both of them.
Okay.
Within the...
Let's start with people.
Yeah.
The individual. You, everybody and, who has the own platforms.
And honestly, if we stick with this with most of this episode, it'll still be pertinent and helpful and honestly probably more interesting.
We're going to make a series, folks.
Right. Well, with people, there's a couple different things because it always started when we talk about terms and conditions, everyone always kind of tends to lean towards... You know, the world's biggest lie. I have read and understood this agreement, right?
Oh, yes, 100%.
The EULAs of the world. Now, with those, there are some ridiculous ones historically, mm-hmm. either because you're approving to not only what it says there, but you're also approving any change that they make in the future, and they are subject to change at any time.
Period.
Period.
Yep.
And you just signed your name to it.
Yep.
And that's not uncommon. Other ones... There have actually been some historical cases of people testing out their EULAs. There have been companies way back when who put cash rewards within their EULAs for people to contact their tech support lines with this clause, and they're, you know, subject to compensation, only to have them contacted for it 5 months later.
And then have to pay out? They're like, what do we have to pay? Yeah. Like, no, you agreed to it.
No, they gave the guy a grand.
Because oh my gosh, that sounds like an amazing business idea.
I mean,
kind of like an ADA guy.
And then, I mean, there was another one. There was actually a really funny case. Back in 2010, a UK-based company called GameStation put in their service agreement on April Fool's Day a full paragraph and a half of how by signing the agreement, they own your soul. And they could claim your soul at any point in time with a 5-day written notice of 6-foot-high burning letters in your yard. And 12%, and then there was a little thing if you would like to opt out of this.
Yeah.
Like here.
Yeah.
12% clicked it.
Really?
Yeah.
As in they allowed it. They're like...
No, 12%.
Oh, they opted out.
12% opted out.
Because they read it.
Which means GameStation sent out a release the next day explaining what they did, explaining how many people fell for it, and like, hey, we legally release your souls back to you.
You can have
it. You know who feels like a chump in this whole, that whole example?
The what?
Lucifer.
We now know...
Because if I were the devil, I'd be like, why the hell did I not think of that?
Yeah. Idiot.
So there's always been historical, you know, gotchas, both real and fabricated for making the point within those. But
yeah.
But nowadays, that's kind of the old fashioned, if you will. But moving forward,
I see what you did there.
Yeah, it's almost like I think these things through.
Now, EULA, what does that stand for?
Oh fuck.
And user license agreement.
Yeah, yeah. See, I have it right there. See,
yeah.
It says it right there.
Mm-hmm. EULA.
Right there.
Which, you know, that I've always understood the EULA to be within, like, developers. If you're going to create a product and you put it on the App Store, right, or whatever, that's the end user license agreement. The terms and conditions, are they going to be with, like, the normal everyday user? Is that right? Or did I mix those up?
Yes and no.
So or is it synonymous?
It's more and more it's becoming synonymous. There used to be more of a gap, but especially in the digital age, where you download something, you don't sign anything, but it asks you for permissions. It's basically the same.
Yeah.
You're giving it permissions just in a quicker way with less detail. Which, you know, in the new day, the old fashioned, the little bubbly on top, if you will. Talking about, say, social medias or TikTok, if we want to talk about that. That was a huge buzzword for a while there when it came to app permissions.
Let's talk about that one. I mean, if we're going to go down. Because that's the most dirty one.
Yeah, I'd love to talk about TikTok. So, full disclosure, going into this, it's been investigated thoroughly.
Mm-hmm.
And to put people's minds at ease a little bit as we go into the details, it's kind of the sort of Damocles sort of situation where the danger is there, but there is absolutely no evidence that's being used maliciously yet.
Yet.
So with that in mind, let's go into how they're stealing all your shit.
Because, I mean, all right, so from your research, a Chinese-created organization.
It's broad.
Well, I mean, either it is and hosted or...
So, and that also gets interesting as you go into who owns the data, where the data is hosted, because kind of separated from where it came from.
Yeah.
American data and Americans using TikTok, that data is hosted in a undisclosed location within the United States with backups in Singapore.
Area 51.
Everywhere outside of America, they have been told that you are hosted outside of the Eastern Europe or outside of the European Union area.
The good old EU.
But also non-disclosed. With audits going in, seeing no evidence of it being located in China. So that means, if those are accurate and correct, Chinese law does not apply to the data TikTok steals from you.
Oh, there's so many layers of that.
There is.
So dicey.
So as soon as... Because just to go over some of these things, I have a list of the things that TikTok has access to as soon as you turn it on and say...
I was going to say go, because there's some egregious ones, dirty ones.
Okay. Access to the camera and microphone to record sound and take pictures. Great. That's what the app is used for. What it doesn't tell you is that's 24/7.
And regardless if it's on or off.
Yeah.
They can get in there and take pictures.
They, and we'll get into that here. I think it's step number 4 or 5. They have access to turn your phone on to turn their stuff on at any time. They can turn it on from a shutdown and force a restart if you block it.
So how would that happen if, you know, little old Adrian's out there, phone's off, and they, what would trigger them to go after one phone and turn it on? Or is it on mass?
Well, you see, they aren't doing anything maliciously, so they're not turning on anyone, individuals. But again, that sword hanging over your head, the president's daughter has it on her phone, and she's hanging out with Dada. And,
and they know that.
And so that's like, obviously, fire and brimstone, worst-case scenario sort of a situation, but it was things like that that caused... I don't know if you remember back in the day, like 2 or 3 years ago.
Yeah. The old times.
Right. Before the COVID. Army and Navy both outright banned TikTok from any government devices.
Yep.
And
or facilities, I thought.
Yeah.
I mean, how would they police that?
It depends on the facility. And then any DGS or anything like that isn't going to have devices like that in any way. And then Air Force and Marines, I know, were right on their heels, but enough information was disclosed at that time to just open legal allegation that they didn't feel the need to.
That's so freaking crazy.
It's silly.
Does that make you second guess your usage? I mean, and that's just TikTok. I mean, we got the other platforms.
And that's the first step.
Okay.
Keep going. TikToks, what they're allowed to do. They're able to control your connection to the internet. Which means if you are connected to the internet, they can connect to it. If you are offline, the app itself at predetermined times, if it's been programmed to, can attempt to connect to the internet, etc.
So if they know that there's a mass gathering, right, a rally of some sort, they're going to be like, nope, all you 10,000 people, boop, Wi-Fi off.
They're good, yeah. They could, like I said, keep the device turned on, automatically start itself if it was to restart. This is not something they can do, this is something they actively do, secure detailed information on your location using not only GPS, but other apps you have running, which means the background part to that is they have access to all your other apps that you're running, including but not limited to banking and business apps.
I was just going
to
say,
and they have permissions to gather all information within.
So they can get into your keychains, whatever, and grab your most recent online purchase with their card.
And it is all stored in an undisclosed location within either United States or Singapore.
But we don't know which one.
Yeah, they legally don't have to disclose where their data farms are.
What if it's not Singapore, it's Taiwan, and that's why they want Taiwan? Because they want all of our banking.
hot takes here.
Or yeah. Or just being a conspiracy theorist here.
Yeah. Stay tuned.
That's pretty normal for me, but what if the undisclosed location in the United States is a NSA data center and they collab with them for this technology?
Because they want to know who's doing stuff from the inside.
Well, if you're the NSA or if you're like in intelligence, I mean, this is a gold mine for you.
No, honestly, and this is, you know, I used to work with
such agency.
But of which we have a lot of respect for and implying.
I personally support our future NSA overlords, whether they be United States or Chinese. I mean,
yeah.
I used to work within the intelligence field. And so it's very interesting. You know, there are, you know, everything that I did was above board. Everyone that I knew always did things above board. There were very specific rules, and you're giving me a look. Yes, I would.
Is that what you're supposed to say?
I would.
It's fine if you that's that.
We'll talk after this. all my NDAs keep me from saying anything like that.
Yeah, can't say yet.
But there are a very, very prescribed set of rules that American intelligence agencies need to hop through. We are not allowed at all under any circumstances except for a select few to gather intel on Americans. Period.
And this is
end of story.
Through what?
This was through the Department of Defense intelligence agencies. IRS works a little bit differently in that they're only allowed to collect the data that they're allowed to collect.
Yeah.
NSA, we know what happened with that, but they're supposed to act in the same way. The scary part about apps and social media and third parties that are not part of the United States government is that they have no such regulations. As long as you approve it, they can collect whatever the fuck they want about you. Period.
You know, it's very intrusive, but then part of me is like, what am I doing that they would even want or care? Like, why would I even care?
What would you like to know?
Yes.
Okay, perfect. So you brought up two questions. One is, what are they doing with it? The second is, why should we care? Mm-hmm. And I think that those are two good questions and ones that we should kind of individually look at. There's that awesome saying. We were chatting about it before we started recording, that if you're not paying for a product, you are the product. Mm-hmm. TikTok.
Tried and true.
TikTok's a free app, and millions of people use it every day for little serotonin releases and enjoyment. It's great.
Yeah.
They don't pay a thing. But there is money flowing through it. And the money that's flowing through it is personal data. Even if there's nothing malicious about it, even if there's no scary Big Brother organization out there planning the downfall of humanity, they are still gathering all of your data.
Through videos and micro songs.
Okay, so it's their property, obviously. So they can sell it.
Yeah.
So if you're not allowed by law to gather yourself, could you buy it?
So there are very hard lines as to the type of data that you're allowed to sell and buy. And that's where things such as dark web marketplaces and things like that are unregulated come into play.
What stuff are they? What is a high seller, I guess? I'm trying to think of like,
well,
you know, here's 4 million people's hair color or, you know, from what we could find on the contacts.
There are three big groups that like to buy things. Okay. Mm-hmm. There are platforms such as LinkedIn, Twitter, YouTube, etc., that have their own ads. They pay for their own ad services.
Yep.
And then they collect data off of those ads for their own use to make more money off of said ads.
And improve their ads and everything.
Yep. It's just a cycle. They gather information on everyone to improve their information. Sometimes they buy it from outside databases or overseas in order to improve their own ads to make their own revenue. That's platforms. They have their own internal structure. Then there are companies who, you know, marketing and things like that want to, I mean, companies are willing to spend billions, literally billions, just learning about their customers so that they can make sure that their ads target them efficiently.
Right.
Then there's criminals. And unfortunately, criminals make up a large portion of the buying pie, if you will. And they
want those credit card numbers.
Yeah. In fact, you know, there are certain things like when you do surveys for your age demographic and stuff like that, when you say, I am a male, I am from the age range of X to X, I am Caucasian, etc.
That's so crazy.
All that data is worth something. It's worth anywhere from 1 cent to 36 cents.
Per person?
Per person, per item.
Holy smokes.
You filling that out as a as an American white Caucasian male may only be worth 50 cents. Sorry. Your
mom said I was worth at least a buck.
Your Indian American or African American neighbor may be worth $1.20. And when you have 10 million of those records.
Oh my gosh. That's so much.
Those databases are worth some money.
Yeah.
And they're compiled. But then you get things like PII. And Social Security, or
oh, I don't even know that,
or healthcare records.
Oh, so now you can start serving up other ads. If you're a business, you're going to have all the pills or whatever it is that you could pull from their existing phone.
Mm-hmm. Complete healthcare record sells for about $250.
Why aren't you guys getting into this?
Because it's mostly illegal.
Well, okay, so now that comes into that part of it, the legality. If I'm on there and I agree to it and they do it, who's held?
Well, so here's the thing.
And then who even knows?
You, as the consumer, are agreeing for them to gather the data. You are not necessarily agreeing them to sell the data to others. And that's where the gray line, and that's where the illegality comes from. That's the difference between companies which purchase information which you've approved and criminals who purchase information that's personal or protected, such as healthcare records, PII, social security number. You can buy, and this is data accumulated. Again, none of this is going to be 100% accurate. Times change. But the estimation is you can get a cloned MasterCard with a pin for about $25.
Oh, my God.
You could buy a hacked Facebook account that's completely legitimate and authorized and has a history for about $60. You could buy other social media accounts that are similar for similar amounts of money. You could buy blockchain verified accounts for a little over $300. I mean, there's money and data. And so when...
And this is the stuff that you guys are in because you have to be, like with all the other...
This is stuff that we actively try to protect people from giving out unknowingly. Because when you get that phone call from the guy who says that his name is Bill, but he speaks with a strange accent and wants access to all your accounts, he doesn't need to steal money from your account to make money.
Right.
He just needs the information which you are freely giving to him, and his job is done. He puts your name down, sends it to his 50 compatriots, and you're targeted for that much more.
Well, a lot of the times they just want you to answer to know that's a legit number. And then all these are legit numbers.
Let's see. A verified phone number is less than a dollar, but still there, you know?
So you got an actual menu of pricing?
I do.
Oh, man. You dug deep.
Yeah. Well, you don't even need banking numbers or any. You could get banking information such as banking history or records. And still sell it for profit. And when you talk about, say you scam a mid-level company of, you know, 100, 150 people, and you just get a billing history, right? That's $5,000-$10,000 worth of information just emailed over to you.
And imagine doing that on scale, getting 1,000 of those.
And this is the really fun thing. Once you got a database going and you're a criminal doing all this, and by the way, going into this, we are by no way, shape, or form encouraging this type of behavior. If you do this,
they're telling you to not do it.
If you do this, you're a bad, bad person. You should be ashamed. But that being said, just because you sell it once doesn't mean you don't still own it or have it.
Right.
You can sell it to 5 people in a day.
So you double it?
I mean, just because you sell it to people, you're just giving people that information. Yeah. It's not like you lose that information.
Oh.
And so that's why there's a lot of security things and things like that that go through, scan sites for that type of information, find out what's compromised, and then change it. So take away the value of those things. There's things that you can do, but all in all, we live in a society now where some of the best illegitimate marketplaces are just information.
That's crazy. And then all the things. So when you like go and create a new platform, it's like, how do you want to sign in or register? And it says like Google, Facebook, whatever, sign in. So you're linking those things up for their benefit and selling. And the benefit to you is you just have one click to log in, not four.
Yes. And again, they make a benefit off of it. They wouldn't go through the process of making it easier unless there was a benefit. Some of it's customer satisfaction. Some of it's just their own value. And again, like to reiterate the difference between platforms and companies and then criminals. Just because a company gets your information from you doesn't mean that it's malicious. A lot of times, this entire industry and this entire setup was built largely thanks to, you know, forerunners like Zuckerberg and folks like that who started a lot of these trends. These were largely started so that they could absolutely understand big picture numbers, society as a whole, and then cater to it with their with what they offer. And instead it's turned into, well, yeah, you can cater. How much are you willing to pay for that information?
What's your catering price?
Right.
What do you think of all this?
I mean, cater or influence. I would say...
There's the conspiracy theory. There he is.
Yeah. Wait, how much of a conspiracy theorist are you?
I mean, I kind of want to just find some back channels to buy some undisclosed land and build on it and not have any electronic device and...
Yeah.
You know?
Surprised you don't have tinfoil on your head right now while we're talking.
well, we have the hats. They just wouldn't fit over the headphones.
No, I'm just playing. But, I mean, it kind of makes you want to do that.
Yeah, 100%. Know? Which is the scary part. And well, no, it's terrifying because we've become so addictive.
Yeah.
Or addicted to it. Right, and the way that they put the buzzing, the beeping, you know, go take a look at what everybody thinks of me and what I think everybody else. It's highly addictive. I found myself, you know, in preparation for this research in Twitter specifically.
Yeah.
And I went on a couple. I'm just mad at that platform because it's freaking stupid. But I was going to go and delete it. And I was like, no, I shouldn't because I'm going to need news on, like, fires.
Yeah.
Right. I'm like, I can get other news on fires in the area. You're like, what the hell? What did I do when I was, you know, 10?
Right, right.
I didn't tweet.
But what if Donald Trump gets allowed back onto it? We all want to see that, right?
Oh. it's going to be a show. Which I don't think is going to... Are you on it?
No.
Truth?
No, I'm on Truth.
I
am not on Truth.
Oh. I don't think it's going to last that long just for, I mean, obvious reasons. They've got others now, too, but...
I mean, do you really think that that Tesla is going to let him back on?
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you can't go and say, hey, it's the town square, everybody had free speech, and then, like, oh, sorry. Yeah.
I mean...
forgot.
Yeah.
I forgot, bro.
I think he should be back on, whatever. I mean, they haven't really booted a lot of other people out, so... Hey, boot all of them or boot none of them?
Right. 100%. 100%. Dude, that old-fashioned was good, and it's hitting me.
Like, well, yeah, you're like...
It's a little bit stronger than
it is a little bit stronger. My eyes are just... I'm just like, this is...
It's amazing. a standard pour. It could also be that it's, you know.
And just to
three.
Just to maybe ease some of the paranoia, go out on a happy feeling good note a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
For Mr. Jim Bob out there who listened to this, kind of had an understanding that, you know, people were getting their data but didn't realize how much or why.
Mm-hmm.
I want to put your mind at ease a little bit. So yes, if you sign on to certain apps or do certain practices, your data is absolutely being collected, absolutely being put in a database, and absolutely being sold. That is just a mark of the times.
Yep.
That being said, you are among a couple billion other people on this planet who it's happening to. You are within a couple million people in your general area, a couple thousand, if not more, within your town. You, for lack of a better term, you're not special unless you are.
No.
And if you are, you should be taking better measures anyway, and you probably know who you are. So that being said, you know, do
the blue check marks, that's who they are.
Right.
That's why they get there like, oh, hey, we're going to give you a blue check mark. And they're like, yeah, that's so rad. Nah, now we're going
to
be tracking you.
Do what you need to feel good about yourself and feel safe. But just because this is what's happening with technology does not mean that we are all in imminent danger.
Yeah.
And it's just something to be aware of as times change and make sure that it doesn't get out of hand. But it's, you know, just something that if you like technology and like this sort of thing, it's a good thing to understand going forward.
Or,
however,
we go back to the StarTAC.
Oh, man.
How about a phone that just makes calls?
Star what? Go back to what?
The StarTech. Remember the StarTech phone?
Oh, yeah. Giant. I agree. I 100% agree.
Dude, the jitterbug.
Yeah. We wouldn't have sleep issues. We wouldn't have anxiety, self-esteem issues in our teens. We wouldn't have, you'd have more connectedness. I mean, you probably, across the, well, I'll say United States, but the world, you'd probably have family sitting together and having dinner.
Yeah, I mean, I've been reading Jordan Peterson's, also a not paid plug. I've been listening to Jordan Peterson's,
hey, Jordan.
Reading his book, 12 Rules for Life. Mm-hmm. It's a great book. And I would say that he would probably agree with that statement.
Yeah.
Relationships are pretty messed up nowadays. Mm-hmm. So.
Absolutely. Not because of the ULAAs.
EULAs.
No, I'm fucked up. Not because of that, but no, social media as a whole. And honestly, if it meant the company was gone, I have to do something else, I'd be like, cool, here you go. Matter of fact, not only that, I'll grab the shovel off the truck, I'll dig the hole, put it right in there. If it all that went away. I don't think it ever will, just because of it's ingrained. And that's the scary part, too, is it's our next generation and generations. It's their way of life.
I got a really fun number for you, though.
Oh,
it's
boy.
A really fun number. So,
how many of these old fashions till I go night-night? Fun number, one.
At least one. So there's a lot of new industries popping up now that is revolving around this. Probably one of the most noticeable are content creators on mm-hmm. these social media.
Oh, yeah.
And this spreads from, you know, used to be folks on like Vine and things like that to obviously YouTube. YouTube's been around for so long. There's a lot of folks in my personal life always have questions like, hey, these content creators, they make so much money. Why?
Yeah.
You know, how does that happen? Do, mm-hmm. do people buy from their merch? And it's like, no, ad revenue.
Yeah.
Right? YouTube pays them. Legitimately pays
based
them
on eyeballs.
Their salaries based mm-hmm. on eyeball. They're like, well, how can they afford that? And it's because of the data you're giving them.
Yeah.
And just for, you know, good numbers, back in 2020, YouTube made around $7 billion just with ad revenue.
Mm-hmm.
Literally, not even like any paid promotions, anything like that, none of their grants or anything like that I'm sure they were getting for tax purposes, just in ad revenue.
Yep.
$7 billion. And what are their costs?
A couple billion?
Maybe. If that.
Yeah.
They pay some content creators who make enough likes and they...
Oh, you mean on YouTube as a whole?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, gotcha.
They keep up their servers. They make sure that things are running smoothly and they pay their creators.
User-generated content is...
And they're just nom, 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 on all the profits.
Eating it. Which is my thought on that. Like, I'm probably going to get... thrash for this, but like influencers, right, in the paid contract, you're just a slave to make whatever, and you've got to,
and
as
also,
we're making content,
they're not that special. Like, and that's another thing I'm probably getting. I mean, you're not that, I get it, you're talented, you create content, whatever you want to tell yourself, you're not that special.
Yeah.
I do want to bring up the irony
that we're creating,
literally making a podcast.
Yeah, but it's informational in purpose, and we're not trying to get
particularly
ad
for
revenue.
Kid, because I have family members that are young and like they're like, oh, I don't need to go to
college.
I don't want to go to school to make a career. I don't want to have to be a doctor. I don't have to get a real job. I'll create content.
I'm gonna be really good at Halo.
Yeah, dude, seriously. And then they just go and put a camera.
Yep.
And do a screen record. People just watch that.
And some people are very successful with it.
You got this old man getting cranky.
And so if there is anything that I want you all to understand from this and gather and go home with, is that we are not yet sponsored. And if you'd like to sponsor Whiskey and Wires.
By either whiskey or wires. Go to... so I mean, obviously we're going to be talking about it. We kind of went on a little bit of rant of social media as a whole.
I blame the old fashioned.
Right, total, 100%. And do you have another one? We just have one.
We just have one.
Sorry. Mm. Maybe just some Woodford straight up. We're all looking at it. Dude, we're like friggin' three... French bulldogs, like looking out of a glass, like
just all leaning the same way to get a look out the window.
See, I know how this goes. Like by 4:30, we're gonna be like, shit, we have to drive home.
Yeah, I know.
We're staying here.
Like, turn the lights down. Let's just take a little power nap on the couch. Well, I guess the moral of the story is, and I read what you are agreeing to. You know, I liken this whole thing to, remember back in 2005, 6, 7, market crashes.
Yeah.
Everybody's pissed off about their mortgages and everything. And I was in that space.
Yeah.
And it is up to the buyer. Everybody blamed the banks, blamed the this, blamed the that. And the finger pointing was everywhere. At the end of the day, if your pen is going across that, it's up to you to go and read it. So if everybody's mad, then delete your account. But you ain't, because you're hooked on the addictive dopamine of seeing, you know, all the whoever's.
And devil's advocate, if you've had the apps this long, then they probably have all the data they need from you. So right. Might as well just stay on.
I know. I see. I struggle with the part of, if you're going to use it, collect data, just because you don't really know my name, right? You just know whatever habits. Now, if you get into the phone, turn everything on, whatever, that's a whole separate issue because you can grab stuff.
Yeah, that was the last one that I didn't quite get to was number five. They have access to your entire phone and everything stored on it.
Everything. And yeah. Not only that, I'm thinking TikTok specific. Actually, I think a couple of them, you agree to access to all the computers you access that platform on.
Yep.
Like, come on.
Yeah, if they have access to your network and you allow them access to every device on that network, then you're...
There you go.
Even if they don't do it, mm-hmm. You have signed the paper that they can hop.
Hey, everybody, come on in the house. Take whatever you want.
I feel like we've almost wrapped up and then circled around to more, and this also pisses me off a couple times now.
Well, what I was going to say, if you're going to serve up better ads, I don't care about that because you're going to get to know me based on habits better. I'll be in my own echo chamber because, you know, like camp and stuff.
Yeah.
But when you steal stuff and there is a harm in that respect,
yeah,
that's the part. That
it's always fun in games until someone turns a criminal. I mean, that's...
those are advice for all the kids and parents. If you want to use that one, please go ahead.
However, I... Ah, shit. This is being sent out too, huh?
Yeah.
So that just like the new fashioned, I can't claim that anymore. God damn it.
What? Oh.
Yeah. It's not...
You
it's
can.
Not, it's not my saying anymore.
No, it's trademarked, yeah. What were you going
to say, Adrian? Oh, no. I mean, man... The lawyers have done an amazing job, like,
bro.
Slightly sarcastic.
But, yeah.
I mean, that's some great thinking.
Just how airtight legally they have access to it is insane.
Yeah. I don't know what the loophole is.
The fact that TikTok came under fire from the entire American government and came out the other side clean is insane.
Yep.
Like, I remember watching that, seeing it get shut down for the other two sister brands I was there for. So seeing it get shut down, the others expecting it to happen to us, have it not happen to us because legally there was nothing wrong with it.
And
they were within American laws and just being floored.
And it was so simple how they got away. No, you clicked here.
Yeah, yeah.
Right,
we're not selling it. We're just storing it in a place that you'll never know.
Well, it's essentially a contract, right?
Yeah.
So contract law is pretty straightforward, but it's airtight.
Totally. If you agreed to everything, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then your only other course of action is to delete the platform and get off of it.
Yeah. I'm not even mad about it.
Like, no.
For the lawyers. I don't blame the lawyers.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
We have enough other things to blame lawyers for. We can't blame them for this.
Nah, they're great people.
Wait till episode 10 where we trash lawyers.
I think it's kind of funny. People are going to listen to the first time that we started wrapping things up and look, and there's still 30 minutes left on the podcast.
We're going to have timestamps. Well, okay. Well, there we go. We'll wrap it up. But, I mean, it's a duh statement. Read it, and if just be ready for whatever happens to you on whatever devices, because you said yes. Fair?
Yeah.
This is probably one, and I make it pretty good old fashioned, but I think it just crushed it. And I think I know why. You mixed your stuff a whole lot longer. Mine's not fast. No, mine is fast. That's, I think, why. Fair?
Well, okay, I will give you this before... My Angostura bitters. I just like that bottle. That bottle was like 5 years old. I clean it out every time it empties out.
Really?
But I like the way it dashes, the way it measures. Like, it's actually really precise. Someone, like, every one that I've gotten has dashed differently.
Mm-hmm.
It bugs the hell out of me because I know three or four dashes, depending on the drink, is exactly what I want. So what I do is I've actually been blending my different bitters.
Oh.
and then putting it in there.
So that's not what you see.
That's not what you see on the surface.
Got it. That makes sense. Okay. Yeah.
So there is some secrets. There's some secret ingredients there. So.
I want to try that.
That's why you smiled when you said cinnamon.
Because you had that in your. Because a bitter is just really all those things.
I will give you this. There's a little bit of Mexican chocolate mole bitters.
So
that's probably where you got that.
That's it.
Well, and you smell,
among other things.
We'll all have you smell it after we get out. It's one of the best smelling things I've ever smelled. Yeah, I've smelled a lot of things.
Well, if you let mayonnaise go for a while with Mountain Dew, it really has a nice bitters flavor to it.
That's gross, man.
I know. All right, everybody. Thank you for hanging out with us. We will see you next show on Whiskey and Wires.